typed everything. Said, oh yeah, he said, we can get out of this. He said, you have to be Microsoft proficient, computer savvy. So the dog starts doing PowerPoint, Excel spreadsheets, just incredible, proficient in Microsoft 10. And he's just, and he says, you know what? As incredible as you are, dog, the dog's looking at him. He says, I still can't hire you. He says, you know, the dog takes the equal opportunity sign and shows him equal opportunity, you know, showing him that sign. Says, you know what, as much as we are equal opportunity, you got to be bilingual. That's on there too. And so the dog pauses for a moment, and out of his mouth goes, meow. That's funny. Amen. I don't care what you say. Amen. It's funny. All right. The very first church I was at, they carried these big Bibles, double this size. Do y'all remember that generation? It was an iglesia, amen. Pentecostés, siga su marcha, amen. So we would march with our Bible. Anyway, we would have these big Bibles, and I saved up and got my first King James Bible. It was the 1970s, the late 1970s, and all they had was the King James Version. But as I looked at my Bible, my new leather Bible that I got, King James Version, I noticed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these sections that was red. It was red, red. And as I studied God's word for the very first time in my life, those were the words that Jesus said. And so it was just fascinating to me. So I got my yellow Sharpie back then. We had a Sharpie highlighter. And I would mark all over where Jesus had spoken. And those words would affect my life. So we thought of a series that we would do during the summertime. What if we did the words of Jesus, if we spoke about them? And they changed our lives. Because Jesus was a man full of compassion, right? How could we be full of compassion? By learning his actions, by seeing his ways. Jesus was a man that healed people. And in our lives, healing should flow. And so lives are changed because of the words of Jesus in our life today. And so the series just about Jesus' words. In the Bible, it speaks of heaven and earth passing away. And just like this building will pass away one day, your favorite restaurant, your home, all that structurally that stands on this earth will pass away. But something different here. But Jesus said, but my words will never what? You got to help me out, right? Everybody, yeah. Will never pass away. By the way, we're going to do church a little bit different. I'm trying to warm you up and trying to change us a little bit. We're not going to have Anglo church today. Is that okay with everybody? Anglo church is this way. I want to have African-American church. Amen. Is that okay with everybody? I want to have some fun in church. Yeah, good. All right, good. See, T.D. Jakes has a great church. And if you ever watch him, man, T.D. Jakes can say stuff like in 5 minutes that I won't say in 3 hours. I love watching T.D. Jakes. Anybody with me? Just incredible preacher, right? Well, he has this thing that he talks about. If you're really preaching good, they stand up and they point. They point at you while you're preaching, right? And I've done that in some of the churches I've been at because they welcome that. And you get to stand up in church and they point at you, man, you're doing good. So maybe you want to experience that. Nobody's going to shout you down, stand up and point if I make a good point today. If you go to the next level in T.D. Jakes' church, here's what they do. They not only point, but they point, but they give this stink face. If you go to the next level after that, they do this thing called, they point, they give the stink face, and then they grab their neck. They really do that, amen? And it's a lot of fun, even though you're not looking at me like it's a lot of fun. I'm gonna point to myself and do my stink face by myself, okay, if y'all don't do it with me, amen? But y'all can help me with that. Well, Jesus, on his worst day ever that any human being had ever had, he comes out even helping people on his worst day. You ever have that bad day and somebody else helps you? Of course we do. We have people that love us, people that take us to the hospital, people that are there at the accident scene, the authorities and so forth. Well, Jesus' major, major problem, cross, man on a cross, bloody dying on the cross, messed up everywhere, so marred. The prophet Isaiah said you couldn't even recognize him. Mama, is that my son? I don't know if that's the son, but it sounds like his voice. Yeah. On his worst day, do you know what Jesus does? He's so amazing. He's still helping people. where the rest of us get a rain check and the rest of us said, somebody needs to help me out. Jesus said, I'm still going to help you, thief, on the cross next to me, because this day you'll be in paradise with me. You don't think you think you're going to go off and die, and you don't know about where you're going to go eternally. You're going to be in paradise with me. By the way, mama, you're down there looking at me crying because this is terrible to see me in this condition. I'm your son, yeah. But mama, you're not left alone. That's your son. That's your daughter. That's right now, John, that's your mama. You're standing next to mama. Now, mama, that's your son now. I got something else I got to do now. Yeah. And so I'm going to be gone, but you're going to have a son. You're going to have a house. Jesus is still taking care of people. I think it's a striking example for us today that even on our worst days, you have this endurance in your life and they're not checking out. See, maturity is not complaining about everything. Maturity says that, you know what, I can withstand if the temperature's not right now. Give me a good amen. I can stand right now if this person next to me, you know, maybe they should have wore some deodorant. Give me a good, I don't know what it could be. Y'all ain't laughing, but you can give me the stink face later, amen, for some reasons today, amen. And so today I want you to avoid the roadblocks in life by looking at some examples about being transparent, because Jesus was transparent. As God as he was also very human today. And so Jesus in John 19:28 says this. These were moments before he dies. Remember last week, final words from people are very important. So the final words of Jesus had something to say. Later, knowing that everything had been finished so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am. Yeah, in a jar of wine, which wasn't it wasn't sweet wine. It wasn't good wine. It was very bitter. Matter of fact, the first time they tried to give it to him, he didn't want it. But now he needed to talk. He needed to say some final things. And so he took the bitter wine, the vinegar that was there. They soaked it in a sponge, and they put it on a stalk of hyssop plant. And they lifted it up towards Jesus' lips. And he pleaded out loud. He says, I need water. And it's a life principle for you and I to say this point right here, which is, it's in your founding bullet points right there, and it's found on the big screen. Be human enough to acknowledge that you have a need. Because sometimes we get taught, don't show them that you're weak. Don't cry. You don't have to ask anybody's help. Jesus was God, but he was so human that he said, you know what? My lips are parched right now. My throat is very dry, and I have a couple of more things to say, so I'm going to need some fluid right now to drink. And so a life lesson is that you don't always have to have it all together, that you can have some vulnerability in your life and you can let down the guard a little bit. They tell us men never to cry, suck it up. You know, or you get even that speech that you're given, that you see the public figure and he's like wanting to cry and he goes, I'm sorry. How many times have you seen that happen? Or you even seen Nava do it, you know, and he chokes up. And because they teach us, don't show vulnerability that way, and we're taught not to cry and not show emotion today. I'm so thankful that Jesus cried out to his Father when he was separated from his Heavenly Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Meaning, I don't feel you right now, and I don't feel your presence in my life, and I sure do need your hand today. Amen. There's reasons I think we try to hold it all together, and there's these roadblocks to being real. And they're found in bullet points right there in your handout, in your text today. And I think the first one is fear. And fear, Adam and Eve had that fear of when they disobeyed God. God is walking through the cool of the Garden of Eden looking for them. Adam, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And they said, we hid, Lord. You know, they had shamed themselves. And God always wanted a relationship and even redeemed that relationship. They were afraid of God. And all God wanted to do was help them and bless them. In Isaiah 41 on the big screen 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. And do not be dismayed, for I am your who? And I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? It extinguishes fear in our lives and a roadblock from being real, that you don't have to fear anybody today. Amen. We respect God. We fear him only today. There's a second point there, and it's hidden weaknesses. And it's all of us have weaknesses, Every one of us in this room have issues. And sometimes these are my private issues. And if anybody ever finds out or they're exposed, then everything's going to get bad because they're going to find out. Do you ever notice how when a public figure, especially a candidate for president, they have this thing called the media and how they search and how for everything that's hidden in a person's background. That's why many people don't run anymore, because all their junk's going to be exposed that they did in private, and they don't want it out there for the 5 o'clock news or 6 o'clock news. And once it gets exposed, you know what it's about? It's not like us Americans, the majority of them, not like you guys are special. You're not like the rest of the American public. But the American public does this. They're almost disgusted that they hid that. And they're almost saying, see, I knew that they were fake. They were phony. Blah, blah, blah. And they get all mad and angry that they tried to hide that. But we don't turn the camera back on ourselves. What have you tried to hide? What if it came out that you did something like that in the 20 years ago or so forth? See, all of us in this room, it's not that it came out, it's that we get discussed that they deceived us, basically, and they said they should have been upfront about that stuff. But none of us are upfront about our private issue. We all have hidden weaknesses. Every one of us in this room has some sort of stuff that we're doing that we think if it came out, it would be wrong. But see, the light of God is so incredible, if you're God's child here in this room, that we have fellowship with God and with people. And the fellowship with people, if the light of God goes on it, yeah, it does expose. But there's something tremendous about the light of God with a brother or sister. There's safety. There's accountability. There, you say, oh, no. If they ever found out in the church house, they wouldn't want me. No, I say just the contrary. They would say something like this. You know what? I had the same problem. And God saw me through. And God will see you through. You can't announce it to the whole church house. That's foolishness. But that's why we have small groups at Living Faith. That's why you get to know each other. That's why you get a strong brother in your life. Amen. Not everybody can come to Nava, nor should they. But you can come to a sister. You can come to a brother. You can reach out to people and become vulnerable in that way. Amen, everybody? Yeah? And that's why 2 Corinthians 4, 2 on the big screen. We refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, right? The whole truth on display, so that those who want to see can see. Right, everybody? Yeah. We are people of the light. If anything ever promotes this, it's church. Because people walk in fake. And people walk in saying, I have it all together. How you doing, brother? Praise the Lord. I'm doing good. Hallelujah. And they didn't see you 5 minutes ago when you were driving up, hitting the kids in the back seat, and your arm is hurt because you've been slapping all the children in the back seat. And you tell them, you better be good. You better make sure that you greet pastor right. You better make sure that you smile and all that. But you've just been beating kids, and you walk in. I didn't see you. We have cameras everywhere. Is that okay with everybody? We have it all together. We think we have it all together today, and we don't. There's a third principle, and it's we try to have it all together. We try to show really that we're really, because the desire of approval, we want people to approve of us. It's big for us, some of us, and it's big, honestly, for yours truly at times. We have this fear of rejection, and so we do anything to get approval. I just want to be accepted, and it rules you. And so the value and the opinion of man is greater than the value and the opinion of God. And it shouldn't be. Right, everybody? Amen me, if it's okay, right? And Proverbs gives a scripture that's so incredible, and it's a life scripture for some of us in this room. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man, that means the opinion of man, will prove to be a what? But whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept. There's a balance. You got to be in balance if you want everybody. I want everybody to think of me the right way, and it can ruin your life. So let's keep it real, right? Hit your neighbor and say, keep it real, man. Keep it real. There you are. All right. Good. Yeah. Finally, past hurts. It's a fear of being hurt again, and I don't want to be hurt. And so we respond, and we don't open up our hearts towards people. And again, there's no vulnerability. We become superficial, and no healing comes because the heart is closed. There's a wonderful thought that is found in God's word about how healing really comes to a person. How the forgiveness of sins comes to a person. Well, God forgives sins, right? Yeah, he does. But you know how healing comes on the inside? When you confess it to a brother, you confess it to a sister, and you tell them, this is what I'm going through today. Well, it's in the Bible, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to where? I notice it doesn't say to God. God forgives sins. But see, if you confess your sins to one another, not the whole church, and pray for each other, because at that moment, again, they're going to say, hey, I had an addiction to pornography. I had an addiction. I had an adulterous relationship. I had an abortion once. I had this go on in my life today. I was abused. And you can say the prayer that comes from each other, so you will be what? Scabbed up? Just left hurting? No, you're going to be healed finally. And that's again where the light of God comes in and illuminates. I dream of a church of that happening every time we would come together. How about you? Yeah? We call this thing Sunday best. I wore my Sunday best, and we wear it, we think, even on the outside, but your heart's hurting today. Years ago, we began the church, and we had a phone in my office, and it rang at my home, and it was Living Faith Church, amen, Living Faith Church, you know, I would answer. And it was this lady, first year we were at church, and she says, do y'all do counseling there? And I go, yes, ma'am, we do. I go, all right, man, somebody else is going to come to the church. We're going to grow a little bit this Sunday. And the lady said, okay, well, can you counsel me? I said, yeah, my wife and I would love to meet with you. Let's set up a time. And she was saying through the talk, I could tell that this wasn't an average person that didn't know anything about Jesus. She was seasoned in some things about God. So I was bold enough to ask her. I said, ma'am, do you go to a church? And she says, yes, I do. I go to a church. And I said, you know, so it hit me again. I said, well, why don't you go to your church and get counseling from your pastor? And this is what came out of her mouth. She said, I could never do that. I don't want them to find out what my issue is. And I said, well, do you mind if I call your pastor and ask him permission if I can do this since you're... says, no, don't do that, because my husband, my family, my children, we all go there, and if they were found out what I was doing, they wouldn't want me there, and I have this thing going on. And so I said, ma'am, I really think that I need to call your pastor since you're so locked in and you want counseling from us, but we'll do whatever it takes to help you. Well, thank God I got out of it. And she never called back. And it wasn't that I didn't want to help her, but What I found on this is, some of y'all are judging me, and don't judge. We should be open to people in the house of God enough. Not everybody, maybe not even the pastor, but a brother or a sister that loves God, that maybe is a little bit higher than. See, we're all in the same hospital. Do y'all get that this morning? I do. So all I'm looking at you, and you're in the bed next to me, and I'm going, how you doing? And you look at me and you go, better. You know, and maybe even the third person down that has the oxygen mask, and he takes it off and goes, I'm doing good too. And he puts it back on. Every one of us is in, and some of us have gotten to the place that we're in that spiritual hospital, and we're walking around with that IV thing, and we're walking around, and the gown is closed on the back. Amen, everybody? I've learned, amen. I went in the hospital once, that gown, and I put two of them on, amen. I had a safety precaution. They teach you that if you go in the hospital now. And you're just walking around. Maybe you're helping people now. And you've gotten to that point to help people living faith now. But we're still in the same hospital. No one's arrived in this place. Right, everybody? I dream of a church that way, that's just helping people. Again, we're all in the same hospital. Amen. We get well enough to help. We're transparent, but we're real with people. These are reasons that you need to be transparent, especially this week today, as you learn a lesson today. And we walk away with it. And it begins with me. Number one is this. Are you ready? Number one is this. Because I need support, and the church is a building. In the Old Testament, there was the house of God that was literally a building. David was given the blueprints, and his son Solomon built it. It was great. He built a great house. It was a magnificent house. And the people of God, the nation of Israel, would come in. And whenever the house of God got messed up, do you know what happened? The nation would get messed up. In the New Testament, now God's Holy Spirit is within each believer, and they call you and I the believers of God, a church, right? Some of us are small churches. Some of us are big churches, right, everybody? We're big temples in this room. But each of us collectively, it would say even in the New Testament, when we come together, there's a synergy that happens, and the house of God comes together, and collectively we become the house of God, a body today that's functioning for God today. Strong winds come, and we're kind of like the three little pigs. Amen. If you're going to build on straw, it's not going to last. So I found all these sticks today to prove something with you today. And it goes like this. If I'm alone today and I'm walking alone and the winds come adverse, they will come. It's just a matter of time before they come. We all face a season of testing. The winds come. And if we're alone, it's just going to snap. It's not going to hold together because you're alone today. And adversity, you're not meant to walk alone. You're meant for a relationship. You need support today. But if I bunch myself together with other believers and I walk together with other believers and I become part of a body, the head, the neck, the ear, someone's a nose in this room, someone's the finger, and someone's the hand in this room. And if I bunch myself together with people and the winds come, is it going to be a lot harder to break this? There was this thing in the 1970s or 80s, power team, and they would go around and break things with their heads and bricks. Y'all remember the power team? And they would yell out when the guys were these muscle guys, these muscle heads, they would try to break. They weren't on steroids back then. Anyway, they would yell out, "Help him! Help him!" When he was trying to break those bricks in half. Do y'all remember that? They would yell out, "Help him!" We'd be in the auditoriums, church auditoriums. Man, they tear up these church auditoriums, these like Cornerstone Church and so forth. Anyway, somebody yell out, "Help him!" And I'll try to break this. Yell out, "Help him!" You got to, I mean, be intense. Help him! Come on. I'm not feeling it, but I'm anyway, I just went today because I wanted to be on the power team, but I never made it. Amen. They went on, and they're called Delta Team now. I don't know what they are now, man. They're Navy SEALs, I guess now. But anyway, you belong in a spiritual house. You need something solid in your life with other believers, and you won't find it alone. I found out something about Ephesians 2:21 on the big screen and in your handout. Let's read it out loud, not out soft, on three together. Come on, everybody. First service, y'all did good. Amen. First service. Let's see what the second service can do. One, two, three, go. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. Yeah. How many of you remember Humpty Dumpty? Yeah, he Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great... all the king's horses and all the king's men. Yeah, Bible's good, right? There's a thought. I always felt sorry for Humpty when I learned the nursery rhyme, when I learned it as a kid. Man, but then I thought as I grew up, well, he shouldn't have been on that big wall, man, looking down on everybody, so he had it coming. But if I look at this correctly, you know what Humpty did? That he... the president came to help him, because it says the king's horses, and the president, the White House couldn't even help Humpty get back together again. Congress, king's men, the Senate, the mayor, the government couldn't help Humpty get back together again. He was still messed up after they even came to help. The government tried it, and it wasn't a government problem. It wasn't something on the outside. Humpty needed to be fixed on the inside. And that's why the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the light for the community. And when the local church operates the way it should, it's better than the White House. It's better than the Senate. It's better than the mayor's house. It's better than the it's better than the neighborhood association. Better than the neighborhood association. It will hold a neighborhood together. It will be the light. It will be the activity center. It will be the place that people are drawn into, saying, that place, amen. And that's the dream I have for this home. How about you with me? Yesterday, amen. Oh, how we need it today, amen. And that's what puts Humpty back together again, amen. The second point of being transparent, because I need to grow, and the church is a body. You will never maximize your spiritual life alone. The twig proved it. It snapped. See, I can read my Bible at home. I can pray at home. I can be fasting at home. I can praise at home. I can put on some good praise music at home. But you're going to plateau, and you'll never reach your spiritual potential by yourself at home. That's why I need something greater. In Ephesians 4:16, let me prove it to you. It says, in him, for the whole body joined together, held together, every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up into love as each part does its... Yeah. As gross as it sounds right now, if I rip my eyeball out, or if it comes out, if I chop a finger off, that eyeball is not going to go back in, not unless surgically some sort of miracle happens, or my finger's not going to grow a new finger. It's not going to be like a plant. That's why it's so important that I stay together, because the finger is going to find a hand one day. And the hand is going to find the arm. And the arm is going to find an elbow and a shoulder, then the torso, then the head's going to come together. And I'm going to be able to operate better than I would alone, or I'll shrivel up and die spiritually. And that's why you need the house of God today. You need to be, you're pretty good by yourself, but you need to be part of a house greater to build that part in your life today. I brought some beautiful pictures of the servants of the Lord, and I want to show them real quick to you. This was this past Friday. Estella didn't know I snapped a picture. See Brother Oscar, man, up there on the side here, you can see him. He plays a mean boombox. He plays the music and the people sing. And then Estella was teaching this beautiful message about the battle hymn of the Republic. And she was even singing, glory, glory. You should have heard Estella sing. Amen. She ought to be up here on the praise team. Right, Estella? Amen. Yeah, and they loved it. And it was a serve. See, Estella could go on her own to the nursing home, to the adult daycare. But she chooses to go with a team of people, a small group called a serve team on Friday. By the way, before summer's over, you ought to bring your kids out there on Friday. See Estella. She'll give you information about that today. The next slide, let me talk about this person and brag. This is Howard and Sonia. They lead our Growing in Faith class, and these are some of our graduates. And that was early on at Living Faith before we did the backdrop. Amen. Look at those palettes, man. Amen. Look at that pulpit not stained. Amen. We know what it cost. Amen. Thank God. Look at the people of God that even fit even better than the furniture of God. Amen. They are the fittings of God. Right, everybody? Show me the next slide. Our gas outreach. Amen. That happened just probably now, maybe a year ago. It was cold. Coats were on. Oh, how we need cold weather now. Amen. And we filled up the gas tanks of people free. $200 to spend, I think. And boy, did we spend that. And you know what happened as a result of that gas outreach? There was a precious lady that got her, she had a hard day that day, and she drove up to that Exxon, and they filled up her car, and she like freaking out, like, what's this happening? I've had this tough day, now you're filling. Yeah, we want to do this because we love you, and God loves you. And here's a card that tells us, well, that lady, she had it within her, says, I got to come check. It hit her so hard, it witnessed to her so much. Says, I got to come to that church. I got to come to that organization, those people that did something like this for me and changed my day. Do you know that lady? Can I brag on her? She's here this morning. I'm not going to point her out. But you know, this morning, she's going to go to the Connection Luncheon, her and her daughter. She's going to discover what life's all about today in our church family. And I thank God for that today. Keep showing me before I get to Brian and Katrina. They're teaching our children here on a special Sunday, and she was up here, of course, on our worship team. But let me tell you about Brian and Katrina. Do you remember those that went to summer camp many years ago, Palacios, how they ruined, Brian and Katrina ruined single-handedly our summer camp experience? They were teenagers. Mama's here. She remembers, where are Brian and Katrina? Where are Brian and Katrina? We sent a posse out after them. And they were just, you know, they were young, man. They were just... Anyway, the whole camp got ruined almost by them. But look at them now. Look what God's done. Look what God did through a local church because you believed in them. They're teaching children now. They're reaching children. Amen? Just because we didn't give up on people. And they said, oh, they came to Jesus. Thank God. Boy, aren't you glad for that, right? Everybody. Anyway, Sophia Weimer, we miss her. She's gone, but a restaurant outreach, paid for people's food. Gave them and our young people ministering, amen. Sophia will be back shortly, amen. Last slide, I think. Elaine, first service, Chris and Mike Medrano, they got the service ready for Easter. Elaine came like she always comes at the midnight hour, man, and just served, and made sure everything was ready. Thank God for the house of the Lord. You might say, man, do you need people to serve at the church, Pastor? You know, it would be great if you joined the serve ranks here, the dream team. We're doing okay without you. I mean, things are moving on. We'd do better with you. You know that, right? And if you choose not to move forward in the things that God wants you to serve. The reason why I announce this so much sometimes and show you this is, you know why? Because you need this. You'll never grow to what you're supposed to grow into God until you attach yourself to something stronger and become part of the body. And so the church is that body today. And thank God, amen. That shoulder's going to find the torso, amen. In 1 John, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to read the scriptures before the final fill in the blank so you don't check it out. So on the big screen, John 15:12. This is the command that I have for you. Love each other as I have loved you. This is written in red. Jesus is speaking this, right, everybody? Yeah. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends today. You find a place that you're doing life with people. You say, well, they mistreated me at my last church. They mistreated me at my last church. That may be your story and it may be true, but it shouldn't remain your thing. Do y'all get that? Yeah. Or you know what? It's okay to have a season of rest. I want to shout this from the mountaintop. You can rest for a season. But if it's been 10 years, if it's been 5 years, you got to get up again. Right, everybody? This afternoon, I'll do a connection luncheon. We'll do it immediately after the second service. I believe we'll do it in this building. Leonard and Linda lead that ministry for us. I teach it personally. I want you to consider being part of the church family if you haven't elected to be part of that. Come, you're the one that's really going to elect to be part of the church when it's all said and done. You give a vote by showing up every Sunday. Not that we're a restaurant, but you show up and you're part. You give your time, your talent, your treasure. This is what you do at this church. And so what I want to do when I do the connection lunch is just tell you about our history, our mission, what our future is. And so if you want to kick the tires a little bit more, let me tell you that if you don't choose to be part of this church, I can recommend like 10 churches that are awesome churches to you that you need to be part of if you're not part of this one. Is that okay with everybody? And so just go be part of a local church. In Ephesians 2:19 on the big screen, you are members of God's very own family. You belong in God's household with every other Christian today. So we see Jesus on the cross, and I see red today. And Jesus is thirsty. And he's thirsty because of mistreatment. He's been mistreated. He's been beat. And he's thirsty because of the battle that he's in. He's going to die soon. And he's thirsty because he shouts, my God, why have you forsaken me? He has a desire for fellowship with his Father in heaven. And he's thirsty finally because he has sin placed on his back and shoulders. And he's holding all of sin, my sin, your sin, all of humanity's sin. And he's very thirsty because of it. And our mission as a church today is to bring water to a thirsty community. Because people are mistreated on the outside of the four walls. People are sometimes mistreated, walked into this church. They've been mistreated and they're hurting. And we bring water to them. And people are full of separation from God, and they're full of hurt and pain that they've missed it in life, and they need to come back to God today. And people have a desire to be close to God, and people have a battle called life they live through. And we're supposed to be that thirst quencher living faith. And so today, the woman at the well was told by Jesus, if you drink of this water, you'll never, ever thirst again. Yeah. And so we bring them the water of Jesus. The Bible would go on to say that out of your innermost belly, your parts, rivers of living water will flow from your life today. Spiritual water that will quench the community's thirst. And so we have an assignment from heaven today that we would quench the thirst of people that are hurting today in our community today. Finally, number 3 is this. We have a mission, living faith. because I need to be loved. People need to be loved, and the church is a family. All of us in this room were designed to be loved. That includes all the macho men in this room. Well, I can make it on my own. No, you were designed to be loved. You were designed to be part. Do you know that Jesus loves you even without meeting the conditions? Even when you were far away, God still loved you. And so that's what sort of Savior. When my children mess up, Irma and I get upset with them, but we never kick them out. They're still family, right, everybody? Is anybody different than I am? Yeah, we don't kick them out. And so thank God for the hand of God upon us. The church is called the flock because we're together. And if you get a sheep that wanders off, Jesus talked about that in a parable. What is that sheep to a wolf? Dinner. Wolf bait. But if the sheep stay together and there's a German shepherd running around the flock, steering them, that barks real loud, that growls them back into the place that they need to be, what does the wolf have a choice to do? All that wolf can do, because the flock is together, is just roam around them and just walk around. See, he seeks whom he may devour, but he's just seeking. Just seeking. So he doesn't want you to get out there alone. That's why God calls you to be part of a body today, be part of a family today. And thank God for the church. It's a family today. Right, everybody? Let's pray together as we're dismissed right now. We dismiss ourselves in the presence of God. We bring the lights down. Thank you, Father, for your word. It's eternal. It has significance, Lord. And so I pause and I ask the continual work of the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives at this very moment and to do something, God, that words can't do, a fill in the blank can't do, Lord. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you his peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the touch of Jesus upon the family that's here. Equip them for good work, God, right now, to do the work of the ministry. Thank you, Jesus. As I continue to pray, and we stay in an attitude of prayer, I want you to be transparent, if this applies to you, transparent enough that you would say, I'm thirsty. I need a personal relationship with God. If your heart stopped beating, and I pray it won't in the next few moments, it does. If it does tomorrow, if it does in the next hour, where would you find yourself in all of eternity? Sin separates us from a holy God. And Jesus paid a price and he built a bridge across a great divide to the Father in heaven, the Father, presence of God. And heaven can come down right now to your very heart. It can fill you and it can change your life. But you must do this. You must surrender. You must give up total control of your life. Every area of your life should belong not to you, but to God first. God lets you manage it, yes, because he's not a dictator. God's a gentleman. But God wants authority in your life. God wants to be your Savior. And then beyond that, he wants to be your Lord, that you would say, yes, Lord, I'm doing what you want me to do today. And if you've never had the experience of receiving Christ, you need to say yes to Jesus. You can do that in this moment. You need to say yes to God again to redeem you today. You can do that in this moment right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hands lifted slightly right where you're at. I'll note it and I'll pray. Prayer, I'll lead it. But you can do that right where you're at in the seat. Again, I won't embarrass you. If that's you in this place, you need to say yes to Christ. Would you lift your hand slightly just so I can note it? If that's you, you're waiting. Sir, I see your hand. I noted it. Somebody else, say yes to the Lord. I need to make sure. Two people, yes. Yes, you can put it down. My brother, amen. I saw your hand, yes. Two men that are in this family want to say yes to Jesus. The rest of us that are saved by grace, we're all sinners saved by grace in this house. We pray this prayer out loud with them. Two men that raised your hand, you're my brothers. I want you to pray it out loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. Confession is good. We confess God right now. We confess Him right now, and He saves us. Let's pray this, everyone, together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus. He died on the cross for my sins. He saved me. He bought me with a great price. I no longer have to pay that debt. Jesus, You paid it for me. Thank You that I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm welcomed to the house of God. I'm part of the family of God. I have a new identity. I'm a new creation in Christ. Thank You, Lord. Fill Your people with the Holy Spirit now, the precious Holy Spirit. Thank You. Fill us afresh till we're overflowing. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the hand of God upon us, Lord. Thank You for a church called Living Faith, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Two men lifted their hand, two men of God. Let's bless them. Come on, encourage them. Yes, Lord. We magnify You, Lord. There's connection cards in front of you. The two men that lifted their hand, would you fill that out for me? You can do it anonymously, but if you fill that out, I'll pray for you this week, and I get those back from our ministers that help us out behind the scenes, and so I want to do that right now, and make sure that you fill that out. You can give that to a leader or place those in the offering baskets today. Courtney Bernal went to Nicaragua, and she brought a beautiful gift for us, but she's going to come to the platform now. She has a slideshow presentation that she's going to speak about what God did in her life. She was there almost 2 weeks, right? Courtney, come right now. Welcome, Courtney. She took a great mission trip. Many of you gave towards that, and we thank God for it. And I believe you'll hold this microphone. Sure. Video wants to go first, I guess. You want to show it? Oh, after. Yeah. Freeze the video. Pause it. Put pause, and Courtney's going to introduce it. There we go. There we go. No tangling here. There you go. Okay. Welcome her again. Welcome her. Come on.
First off, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for supporting me to go there. It was a great experience. And I want to let you know that we were the first, well, for this year, we were the first and only Foursquare Church from Texas. Wow. So we were represented. yes, amen. Now, I can't even explain it. This is amazing. The people there were so transparent. Their need, their faith. For example, they prayed for everything. There were so many on-site healings. Here, if you talk about a pain and someone says, oh, well, let's just pray for it. And then you say, wow, God healed me. They look at you like, did you just take some aspirin? Or but there were so many on-site healings. There was so faith with such devotion. And on the other hand, there was people with such great need. You saw the anger so transparent on their face and their eyes. And then they came over to you in the prayer group I was in one day. And they just told you their story. And you could see the struggle within them that they wanted God. And some people actually said, I don't know Jesus. I can't accept Him because I don't know Him yet. And we're like, well, that's where you get to meet Him. Today's the day you can say, hi, Jesus. Come into my life and live in me. And we'll give you a Bible and you can grow from there. It was so amazing. One story I feel God's pressing on my heart to tell is on the last church that we visited, where we set up our clinic, and we went out from there to make house calls. We were just going out. It was going to be our second house to go to. We turned a corner, and we saw a man there. He was carrying a wheelbarrow. He was fairly dirty. He was, anyways, we told him that, well, there's a church down the street, Foursquare Church, and there's a clinic set up, so if you want to get checked out, you need to, or get some vitamins, you can go ahead and head over there. And he says, yeah, I got a cut on my leg, and but let me go home, and I'll get dressed up before I go. I'll get cleaned up. And It was just so amazing. I'm sorry. So then we go to the house, we make our rounds, and we go and give people medicine and treat them. And then we head back. And when we get back, we're hearing this great story about this man who had a cut on his leg, who came in and needed stitches. It was a cut like that. And he needed stitches. And then he went to the prayer group and got rededicated to God that day. Wow, what timing. Through the whole week, there was this theme of the such a time as this. And it was truly such a time that God gave us to lead us down that street, to lead us to that man, to lead him to the church, amen, to get stitches, to lead him back to Christ. Wow. Now, finally, I'm going to give you this video that my husband helped me prepare. And I hope it inspires someone, at least one more person, if not many, to go next year. I'd love to go next year again. Many people there are seasoned members that they go 3, 4, 7 times, and I'd love to take a group next year. Also, some people from other churches, from North Carolina, Virginia, and whatnot, they want to come to Texas, and they're asking me, can I pull some strings? Can they come visit? So please watch the video and let God speak to you. If you hear that God wants you to go and is leading you, let God lead you, and I'll try to help you get prepared, and we can start early. Thank you.
De cómo eres.